We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's get the inside skinny now on what we can expect on Sunday in Indiana. We're joined by Stephen Holder, who covers the Indianapolis Colts, is one of their beat writers, and joining us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Stephen.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Stephen, let's just talk about this team. Go back to when the moment, the Andrew Luck moment, and walk us through, what all of the kind of like angst around the team. Was it as difficult as it seemed for the other guys to kind of wrap their brains around, or were they able to move on relatively quickly?
Oh, they were as shocked as you were, as any of us were. There's no question about that. I think I would say less than a week before the announcement, I had written a story in which I talked to other guys in the locker room about what Andrew Luck had been doing while he was hurt. And every response I got was basically them telling me about how hard he was working to get back. And he was taking reps in the walkthroughs and the constant rehab and in every meeting. And so when the announcement came down, it was stunning because just about none of them, except the very small handful that he told ahead of time, had any inkling that this was coming. So, yeah, they were shocked. It was pandemonium. But to their credit, I will say they did sort of resolve to move on pretty quickly. And I think that Saturday night it happened. And then by Monday they were back in the building and they were ready to go out and practice and they were moving on. And they honestly did. It wasn't just talk. They really did show that in their actions.
We're talking to Stephen Holder, Indianapolis Colts beat writer on 92.9 The Game. So, Stephen, they move on to Jacoby Brissett. How did the team embrace him once they figured out all this was going on with Andrew Luck?
Well, the nice thing about Jacoby Brissett is that he is, I think, one of the absolute most respected players on the roster. I mean, and not just respected, but they truly like the guy. They love the guy, really. I mean, he is a guy who, and as you know from playing, there are definitely two sides to a team. There's offense and defense. And a lot of times it's very segregated and, guys kind of don't interact as much. That is not the case with Jacoby Brissett. His best friend is a linebacker, Anthony Walker. I mean, and I think you see him over there with the defensive guys oftentimes, joking around, playing around. And I know that doesn't necessarily say a lot, maybe, but I think it's a really worthwhile observation because it's not necessarily that common. But it shows, I think, it speaks to how much this team has embraced Jacoby Brissett just because he's just a guy that everybody likes. And so that helps him, first of all. And then the other thing that has really worked in Jacoby Brissett's favor is the fact that he has, for the last two off seasons, he has been the only quarterback with the starting unit. Andrew Luck in 2018 did not practice throughout OTAs, didn't make it back until training camp, came back and had a great season, as you know. But throughout that offseason, Jacoby Brissett took all the first-team reps with Frank Reich while they were installing the offense. It was all Jacoby Brissett. So then, come this offseason, same thing. Andrew Luck isn't 100%. They keep him out. And Jacoby Brissett takes all the snaps through OTAs. Andrew Luck starts training camp, but he's a little bit gimpy. A few days later, they hold him out, and Jacoby Brissett finishes training camp and the preseason. So he took all the reps, and he's been basically the guy, at least as it relates to practice, for the past 2 years. And so that has really, I think, gone a long way toward building trust between Jacoby Brissett and his teammates. And there really wasn't much that had to be said or done when he took over. It's just that, you know what, now it's for real, and now it's not just practice.
The Indianapolis Colts started off 1-1. They lost to the L.A. Chargers in the opener. Tough game, tough loss. And then went to Nashville and dodged that fire, that pregame fireworks thing that went off.
Yeah.
That had to be pretty bizarre. I mean, that fireworks thing lighting up the field. and managed to beat the Tennessee Titans 19-17 last week. So they're 1-1, and they get a big win in the division too on the road, which is a a score for you guys to start the season here. Stephen Holder is covering the team. Stephen, you look at the club now, and they kind of try and reimagine themselves as the second-best rushing team in the NFL. They're going to lean on Marlon Mack, and that's how Frank Reich has got to play this, at least early, is got to be run first, correct?
I think they're taking what the defense is giving them to some extent, but they do want to emphasize the run. Frank Reich said, I think back early in the offseason, I remember him saying, he said, look, we want to be a top five rushing attack this season. And we all kind of looked at him like, yeah, I don't know about that. And to his credit, so far, they are walking the walk. But at the same time, they are going to have to throw the football. And I think the numbers aren't big right now. But they're one of the, in terms of passing yards, they're near the bottom of the league right now. However, I think what I've seen so far is when they've had to throw it and when the situation has called for it, Jacoby Brissett has made the throws. And I think that's all that really can be judged. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're throwing it to 300 yards a game. What does matter is when you need a first down, when you have a situation where you have to throw it, can you make the plays? And frankly, they've been able to do that. I mean, Jacoby Brissett was 3-for-3 in the red zone for touchdowns on Sunday against Tennessee. And, I mean, a couple of those throws were really difficult throws, or not necessarily difficult, but just really timely and accurate throws. And, as you know, down the red zone, things get tight and it gets hard, but he's been able to make difficult throws when called upon, and I think that's what it boils down to. Look, they're one of the top teams in third down conversions right now, so they're making critical plays when they need to. I think they're number 7 or 8 in the league in third down conversions. So, they're getting it done. And I also think that I saw this last year with the Colts. Their offensive approach evolved over the course of the season. They certainly threw the ball a lot to start last season, but they were much shorter throws, very, very short on the air yards to start the season. And as the season progressed, they got more and more aggressive with their deeper throws. So we'll see how this season progresses. I don't think we've seen what we're going to see. I think we will see more as the season unfolds.
We're talking to Stephen Holder, Indianapolis Colts beat reporter on 92.9 The Game. So, Stephen, how do you think that the Indianapolis Colts offense is going to handle a guy like Grady Jarrett?
Yeah, I mean, look, they're going to have to be really physical at the point of attack. And they're coming off a game against, I think, an underrated Tennessee defense. That was a dogfight up front, I'm telling you now. I mean, they've got really, really physical front. Mike Vrabel is a really good defensive coach. So the Colts got a huge test, I think, up front on Sunday in Tennessee. Now, look, they ran for over 200 yards against the Chargers, and that was not going to be repeated against Tennessee. But what we did see was they stuck with the run, and they took what they got. Will they double him? They may have to do that at times. You're going to see a lot of two tight end sets with the Colts. Yeah, Frank Reich loves tight ends. He's got some lineups where they even use three tight ends. They did that a couple of times on Sunday. So lots of tight ends. That gives you the opportunity, if you so choose, to double a guy like Grady Jarrett. I think that opportunity will be there for them. But the Colts are pretty good up front. So, I mean, they'll be ready for this. They'll be equipped to handle it. And I'm all ready to see some Quentin Nelson and Grady Jarrett action. I think that might be a treat for us, but I think it's going to be much of what we saw last Sunday against Tennessee. It's a really physical front, and it's going to be man against man, and somebody's going to win. But I think they'll both win their share. The Colts will win theirs, and Grady will win some of his.
Talking about the Colts and getting the insight from Indianapolis with Stephen Holder. Stephen, Adam Vinatieri is like 74 years old. He's still kicking, but he's not doing – he ain't doing too well right now. I know that they're going to let him – what is he, 1-for-5 on PATs? They're going to let him kick. This is a guy that's going to the Hall of Fame, and it's kind of sad in a way to see that he's struggling this way. How long a leash does he have?
Yeah, I got to think that leash is pretty short at this point. I mean – look, he left 7 points on the field in the season opener. 7. I mean, that's just...
You win the game if he doesn't do that.
Yeah, they win the game. There's no question they win the game. And to be completely honest, his misses could have cost them this past Sunday because Tennessee missed a makeable field goal in the fourth quarter. If they make it, the Colts lose that game. So, you know, they got out of there with a two-point win. And Vinatieri missed two extra points in that game. So I think at this point it's costing you games, or at least coming close to costing you games. They could be 0-2 in part because of Vinatieri. At the end of the day, look, this locker room really loves Adam Vinatieri, okay? There's no one they respect more. However, that being said, as a coaching staff, as a front office, you also have obligations to those 52 other men, and that's where it gets complicated. At what point does your sort of your loyalty to Adam Vinatieri, at what point is that overshadowed by your duty to these 52 other guys who are putting their tails on the line trying to get a win every Sunday? That's where this is a really delicate thing. And, look, I get that this is hard. It's hard for everybody. It's hard for me just covering it. I mean, I'm having to say things about Adam Vinatieri that I never thought I'd have to say. But that's just where we are. I don't know. No one comes out of this looking good, and it's just a really, really tough situation for everybody involved now. I mean, I think they're all stressed about this. The teammates, the coaches, the front office, the owner, I mean, it's a bad situation. The best-case scenario is he turns this thing around and somehow comes out of this funk. I don't think he's lost his ability to kick. I think a lot of this is mental. So that tells me Adam Vinatieri has the opportunity to come out of this, because he can still kick. But this is a funk that he's never been in, and if he doesn't find his way out, they have to consider their options.
Hey, Stephen, we appreciate your taking a few minutes. Thanks very much from Indianapolis. Stephen Holder, Colts beat writer. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Rick. Thank you.